feel the need sometimes to go for asana, to go for
তুমি ওপরে বসতে পারে, ওপরে বসো, do you have the AC on or what? Oh, that.
Oh, they opened the door, Maharaj.
Okay. Oh, Hare Krishna. So we thought we can have a question answer session. Hare Bo. Hare Krishna.
Maharaj, you might have seen Nidhi. And
Nidhi, yes. Okay. Very good. Hare Krishna. Nidhi, kab vapas kab aayi?
Maharaj, main aayi 20th ko.
20th ko. Yes, very good. So I thought we can have a question answer session.
Okay. Maharaj, I just want to introduce you. This is Shantil Prabhu.
I met Shantil last time I went when I was at your house. Isn't it? Both of you came. Right. When I came from the airport, then only you came. Yeah. Very good. And I met you also before. Right.
Maybe my hair was longer.
Okay. Anyway, it can be even shorter.
It could be.
Very good. Happy to see you all.
So,
Archana, yeah.
Yes, we know how this process of Bhakti Yoga is a sublime and simple process. But still we find sometimes there is a need to add some process of the Ashtanga Yoga like asana. We feel the need to add some other process because we can't really practice directly the devotional service. So why is it?
Whether it's all right or it's something like, you know, doing some exercise, right, for making the body fit. This asana is a kind of, you know, exercise. Just as one goes to a gym to keep the body fit. That's all right, but the thing is that asana, the real purpose of asana or pranayama is not to just keep the body fit. It is a part of Ashtanga Yoga, and Ashtanga Yoga's purpose is to free the soul from the bondage of matter. And that process is not practical in this, or possible in this age. Nilamani Prabhu, you can sit on that.
No, I'm fine.
If comfortable on the floor. You also comfortable on the floor? Yeah, I was just finishing that. But the real purpose of yoga is to free the soul from the bondage of matter. But that process is not possible in this age. Yoga is not possible for this age. Nothing is possible in this age. That's why Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama. So when you have such a simple process, then why take the difficult one? Like for example, to climb the Empire State Building, you know, if you have to climb, it's so difficult. Now, if this lift is there, what will you do? Savitri, you sit on a chair. You sit on a chair. Get her a chair. Mamata Mai, you are also comfortable on the floor? Sure? Or you want a chair? Give her a chair also. Tumiyo bosho, uniyo bosho. Like when you go to Empire State Building, although the staircase is there, do you take the staircase? Why not?
Difficult.
Because the lift is there. You know, when the easy way is available, only a fool will choose the difficult one. Isn't it? And so, you know, devotional service in this age has become so simplified. So why not take that simple process? And not only you take the simple process, this process will take you to the highest platform. The process is the simplest and the destination is the highest. So that is the advantage. That's the advantage of the age of Kali. Yes, Mamatamayi, what's your question?
Question is that there's a trees.
Trees. You see, in the material nature, everyone has a subtle body. Tree also has a mind, but covered. It's something like, you know, when you're sleeping, you're conscious, but it's covered. Right? You have your consciousness, but it's covered. So trees are like that. So covered that they don't feel anything. You cut the tree, doesn't feel anything. Like for example, you see the condition of Jamalarjun. They were Kubera's sons, but they became trees. Now, when they were trees, they were living like trees. Only when Krishna came and uprooted them, then only they came back to their original consciousness. Because in material nature, every body has two bodies, gross body and subtle body. Some bodies body is in a very unconscious, or they actually called covered conscious. Trees and plants, covered conscious. Achchadito chetan. Then insects to animals, they're shankuchito chetan, shrunken conscious. And human beings, mukulito chetan, bud. Can bloom. So when a human being becomes exposed to Krishna by the mercy of a guru, then his consciousness begins to develop. That is called Bikoshita Chetan and Purna Bikoshita Chetan. Okay, any other question? Yes, Nanda Dula.
You are discussing with Manish Prabhu about, you know, the material nature, that, you know, enjoyment and everything. You told that you have to have, you know, let the material nature take its course and just follow that. In that sense, in the two verses that, you know, I always, every day I chant these things in my mind, 57 and 58 of the 18th chapter. Chetasya sharav karmani, moishunya samat karo. In that, Prabhupada has translated, I just want to get clear about it, that in all activities just depend on me and work under my protection. In this devotional service, be conscious of me. So the devotional service, you know, he explained, Prabhupada mentioned. So I want to get it. Only that's thinking becomes devotional service.
You see, yes, thinking also can be. You see, devotional service can be in three phases. It can be rendered through the body, it can be rendered through mind, and it can be rendered through spirit soul. So when you are in the material nature, when you are bound, when you are conditioned, then we are in the gross bodily platform or in the subtle bodily platform. When we are in the gross bodily platform, then we must engage the gross body in the service of Krishna. But then when you come to the subtle bodily platform, like sometimes the gross body will become weak. Or sometimes, you know, in devotional service, one will come to the platform, like when he will render service in, through his subtle body, mind. Like you remember that incident, the brahmana who was cooking a sweet rice?
Yeah.
So how was he serving? He was serving in his mind. So that is also devotional service.
For them, if you can tell that story.
Yeah. You see, one brahmana was in his mind, he was cooking sweet rice. And to be offered to Krishna. And then he tried to check it whether the sweet rice was cold enough. But the sweet rice was so hot that he got a blister in his hand. At that time, Krishna in Vaikuntha smiled. Lakshmi Devi asked, "Why are you smiling?" And Krishna narrated this incident to Narayan, and then the chariot came from the spiritual sky to take him to the spiritual sky. The point is, when devotional service is rendered in the subtle bodily platform through the mind, that's also. And a time will come, as I was saying, you know, by nature's arrangement, when the body becomes old. And the body is incapacitated. Then should he stop rendering service? Then what should he do? Yes. In your mind we have to render service. Not that when this body is strong and healthy, then we render devotional service to the mind and we all nonsense with this body. No. That is cheating. As long as this body is strong, render service with this body. When this body will become weak, render service through the mind. And then, we'll be able to become situated in our spiritual identity and render devotional service with our spirit soul. The spirit soul will render the pure devotional service. That's the platform of pure devotion. Otherwise, it is in a practicing stage. We're trying to engage this body, trying to engage the mind. Yes?
Maharaj, we know that for deity worship, we can have different kinds of deities. We can have wood deities, we can have marble deities, we can have metal deities. So So there is one point that for marble deities, they are more towards the Aishwarya, they are very attractive, but you can not render as much service to the marble deities. You cannot bear them because of some constraints, whereas metal deities, you can bear them and you can do more service to the deities. Is there any recommendation or anything that when we are thinking about getting deities and housing the Grihastha Ashram, what are some of the things that we should consider?
Well, you know, it is your
preference.
Your preference, yeah. And so, if you have, first of all, you know, Prabhupada didn't encourage devotees to have Radha Krishna deities.
Mm-hmm.
Because in this age, you know, it's difficult, you know, to maintain the standard.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, Prabhupada suggested Gaur Nithai deity. Mm-hmm. And when you render service to Gaur Nithai deity, it becomes easier. But anyway, so that's the first point. The second is, you know, yes, marble deities you won't be able to bathe. And that frequently. And Gaur Nithai will be happy just by hearing the Hare Krishna mantra. If you just chant the holy name, Gaur Nithai will be happy. And what standard you'll establish, like for bathing, like if you want to bathe, then you can have small Gaur Nithai of metal.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you have big metal deities, you can't. You know. Like in Mayapur,
mm-hmm.
Panchatattva is metal.
Yeah.
If you want to bathe them, then the whole temple will be flooded.
Do they do that once a year?
No.
No, I don't think.
Even
only in
Gaur Purnima, we Vijay Vigraha,
yeah.
Small deity.
Mm-hmm.
Only at the time of Abhishek we did that.
Yeah.
Oh, at the only at the time of installation we did the Abhishek.
Mm.
So Maharaj, for those deities, if it is difficult, can we do the service in our mind?
What's that? For bathing, you mean bathing?
Yeah, bathing and other services like sleeping the deities or waking them up. Yeah.
Well, where is your consciousness now? In the mind or in the body? Yeah. So better to render service through the body. And for bathing, if you can't bathe the big deities, keep small deities. Another set of deities, smaller, and you can bathe them.
Mm. Most temples also, huh?
Most temples have
small
deities for
Abhishek. I mean, every day, the deities worship, yeah, actually bathing and things take place in the with the small deities.
Mm-hmm. And Maharaj, what's the importance of deity worship at home? It's a more overall question, general question.
Importance is there because you are serving the Lord, you know, and it is a way of expressing your love and your attachment to the Lord. But in this age, you know, what is important is chanting the holy name. That is the real standard of devotion.
Mm-hmm.
Hare Hare Naam, Hare Naam, Hare Naam. You see, also, Prabhupada generally wanted, you know, at least those days, early days, Prabhupada encouraged the devotees to be engaged in temple deity service. And this is a problem nowadays we are facing. Everybody has his deity at home, and no one goes to a temple to render service. That's why Prabhupada discouraged. Prabhupada even told him, then why am I installing these deities in the temple? If you're going to have your own deity worship, why am I doing it? So Nilamani Prabhu, do you have any questions?
Yes, Maharaj, I was going to ask you for a minute. Maharaj, we've been studying Ishopanishad with a group of us. And the last mantra, some translation is there that is hard to comprehend. It's I can read a little bit. It says,
can you bring my iPhone? Not iPhone, the iPad.
Yeah. Oh my Lord, as powerful as fire, O omnipotent one, now I offer you all obeisances, falling on the ground at your feet. Oh my Lord, please lead me on the right path to reach you. And since you know all that I have done in the past, please free me from the reactions to my past sins so that there will be no hindrance to my progress. So, and also in the previous mantra, he says, remember all the things I've done for you.
Yeah.
Right?
Right. Yeah.
So that mood of that prayer was hard for me to understand. It seems like the devotee is demanding from the Lord something. So
yeah. Yeah, that question came to my mind also. And so we have to take it as this is how, you know,
that
devotees feel at times. And there is no harm in, because it's not what we are saying, it's a prayer that we are repeating. That please remember all that service I have rendered.
For you, yes.
Yeah.
It seems very
arrogant
position to take.
So that's, we have to just accept it, you know, because it's a Vedic mantra. It has been spoken like that. But our mood is that Nashta Moha Smriti Labdha. That prasad at my achit. And our mood is Kodishya Vachanamta. What happened? It's on the table. Not there? The iPhone, iPad. Just a moment. used it in the class this morning. Anyway, you can see that. I don't think I took it. The last mantra is okay, but the one before that, you see, like.
Last mantra, only thing is asking, Lord, please burn away my
sins. Right, yeah, I mean that, please remember all that service I rendered and free me from my sinful reactions.
Yes.
You know, that is more like, you know, praying to the Lord, you know.
It's almost like more sakambhakti.
Right. Well, I mean, yeah, you can say that. Yeah, it's more of a, and actually Upanishad is the preliminary, you know, like Upanishads are not revealing, only, you know, Isha and few others are, but otherwise Upanishad is actually revealing Brahman realization.
Mm.
It's not so much into devotion as such. Jad Brahmopanishadi. The Brahma that the Upanishad is indicating.
In Isho Upanishad, the Maya.
Upanishad, Isho is actually devotion.
But there's also a lot of discussion around remove this Hiranyamayana
Patra,
remove this effulgence so
effulgence.
That I can get beyond the Brahman realization.
Exactly.
And get to see you in your real self.
Right.
Right?
So, you know, Isha is actually from Brahman is approaching the Lord.
Yes.
And, you know, like at the beginning also it's pointing out Ishavasyam Idam Sarvam.
I'm sure this is why Prabhupada translated it and recommended.
Yeah, that's where
Prabhupada,
yeah. Mm. Now, oh my Lord, please remember all my sacrifices.
It's hard to explain it. But in the purport, though, Prabhupada explains nicely. He says, you know, even that we may not be able to remember the Lord at the end. You know, the devotee is praying that, Lord, you remember me at least. You know?
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
Thank you.
in the purport, the last, I mean 17th verse, the last paragraph, the one before last, and in the last paragraph of the purport, Prabhupada is saying, unless one is accustomed to devotional practice, what will he remember at the time of death, when the body is dislocated, and how can he pray to the Almighty Lord to remember his sacrifices? Sacrifice means denying the interest of the senses. One has to learn this art by employing the senses in the service of the Lord during one's lifetime. One can utilize the results of such practice at the time of death. So, this is more like, you know, praying to the Lord that, you know, that you please remember me at the time of death. I may forget you, but because of all the service that I tried to render during my lifetime, for the sake of that, you please remember. I may forget you, but you please remember.
The mood just is contrary to, if you like, our upbringing in this corner and things.
Yeah, that's
we're
true.
We start to think of ourselves insignificant.
But again, when we go to the scriptures, then, you know, like, we have to see it in the light of our understanding. Like, it's not that, you know, the scriptures are wrong.
No,
I'm just saying. But so we have to see how whatever has been spoken in the scriptures is right. Or we have to accept it in the right mood and right consciousness. So that's again, you know, that's devotional service. It's only a devotees can do that. Like sometimes you'll notice, you know, people find so many faults. They come up with all kinds of questions or all kinds of challenges. You know. Why Ramchandra killed Bali? Like, but our understanding is, he's the Supreme Personality of God. He's completely independent. He can do whatever he wants to do. And the reality is that whatever he does is justified. Like, it has been cleared by the questions. The Bali before, I mean, when he was injured, he actually asked Ramchandra, why did you do that to me? Like, I was not your enemy. I didn't do anything. And then Ramchandra justified that what you did, your action was wrong. And I as a king, I mean, he didn't say I as a king, he said, since I hail from the royal dynasty, it's my duty to punish a wrongdoer. Because you have stolen your brother's wife. It's a mistake and I'm punishing. Another reason he gave that I'm a warrior, I'm a kshatriya. And the kshatriya can kill an animal in hunting. So that's why it's justified. That, you know, the killing is justified. But ultimately, it's the Lord's, you know, pastimes. And by doing that, you know, he's actually establishing the marjada of dharma. And he, although he killed him, but he rewarded him. He killed him, but he went back to spiritual sky. So if by being killed by the Lord, we can go back to spiritual sense, let's be killed by him 1,000 times. So any other question? Yes.
Maharaj, why Krishna has flute in his hand?
Why Krishna?
And how did it come?
Why did Krishna has flute in his hand?
How did it come?
How did it come?
Is there any story behind it?
There must be some story, but I don't remember that. Like, how did the flute come to Krishna? Do you have any idea? Do you know? I can't remember. Bhagavatam just describes how the bamboo family is so fortunate and so proud that their bacha became Krishna's flute. And Krishna has a special relationship with bamboo. When he came as Ramchandra, bamboo became his bow. When he came as Krishna Chandra, bamboo became his flute. And when he came as Chaitanya Charitamrita, bamboo became his sandas danda. Yeah.
How to balance material life and spiritual life? That's my challenge.
How to balance? Okay, whatever is material, offer it to Krishna. That's how it will be perfectly balanced. What's the difference between material and spiritual? Do you know the distance between material and spiritual? Yes. Good. So the distance between material and spiritual is me and Krishna. When I put myself in the center, it's material. When I put Krishna in the center, it's spiritual.
Like when I'm working, how can I think it's a spiritual life? Because I'm
offer the fruits of your work to Krishna. Like, consider that you are working for Krishna. Okay, let's start it this way. Your house is Krishna's house. Right? So in order to maintain the house, you need money. Right? In order to offer bhoga to Krishna, you need money. So for all that, you need money. So money doesn't grow in the tree. So you have to work. So with the money that you're getting, it's to serve Krishna's, maintain Krishna's temple, offer Krishna's, take care of Krishna's worship, take care of Krishna's devotees.
One more comment and question. So we were very fortunate that Nidhi's parents were able to meet you in Ujjain, and since meeting you, they have really progressed and started chanting.
Oh.
And her father is chanting now 16 rounds.
Wonderful.
And her mother is chanting 11 rounds now.
That is not my darshan. That is Ujjain temple's influence.
So thank you very much for
so fortunate. They are very, very fortunate.
Because they are your parents. Yeah, very good. Yeah, They're very nice people, actually. You see, because they're pure-hearted, you know, when they got to see Krishna consciousness, they immediately accepted it.
We are very happy with started chanting. Now, in Bhopal, they are facing some challenges in getting devotee association because of sometimes it's very far away. And,
they're starting one center there. Mm. Yeah, they're opening a center. One of Jayaprakash Maharaj's disciples, who was in Middle East, I think he was in Dubai, and he went back and he's setting up a center. Small, you know, and he's a householder, so let us see how much he can do.
Okay.
Mm, but he is a nice person. He's a doctor also, I think. And he's and we are also preaching to the students there.
Mm.
Yeah.
You know that. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, he knows that
yeah,
place.
They know.
They know that.
It's quite far from there.
Then they can come to Ujjain.
See, what else can we cut close?
We are encouraging them to
retire
in Ujjain.
Yeah.
Is it, when is he retiring?
No, my father is retired.
Retired.
Mom is working.
Oh, your mother is working. Where does she work?
She is a principal in Nursing
College. Okay, right. Yeah.
She can work up to 70 years, but she wants to work even more.
She can go up to 70. Oh, how old is she now?
She's 65.
Okay. And anyway, like when they will feel that devotional service is more important, then they'll give it up. So. And then they can come to the change.
What are other things that we should encourage them to do other than chanting, which will somehow mitigate not associating with devotees so regularly?
Well, create devotees. They can preach to others and make them into devotees and encourage them and guide them. So this is how.
I tell them to read some books.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So reading Prabhupada's books is very, very important. But they can also be engaged in cultivating other people, preaching. So many devotees are becoming inspired by Krishna consciousness. So it's just a matter of, you know, reaching out to them. They can start a bhakti briksha in their house, maybe. You should have set it up for them.
I used in the house, so all the time, like I made it that all, every time it is Krishna's song only that is sung there, and then small kirtan like that. Just for one day, but.
Yeah. Well, you know, like. They will, as they grow more and more sincere, they'll become more and more concerned about their spiritual upliftment.
You should wait and watch.
Yeah. And how is your spiritual life doing? 16 rounds?
Not yet.
No? Idi. Also so, do you need some push?
I was going to say that's how you can really inspire them by being devotee yourself, and when they see the transformation in you, then they will naturally feel. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they're chanting 16 rounds already.
I came here and then I got the news and I was so surprised.
So from tomorrow, get up a little early. Another 8 rounds means one more hour. Just try. So now I'll take some rest because I'm feeling quite tired. I'm still jet lagged and like I can see that. And you all become very good devotees. Practice the process very nicely. Thank you. Go take prasad. Everyone take prasad. You all, what happened?
I'll call back.
Okay. So you're staying here tonight?
Yes. Yeah,
wonderful. Their house has become a brahmacharya.
But we want that day.